Hello and welcome to the Devil's Trident podcast. Once again, from the top of the league. That's the thing now, by the way. Anytime we're top of the league, I'm going to say that. We are still top of the league after beating Fulham 2-1 tonight. I'm Simon. I'm here with Matt.
Hello.
And I'm here with Jay.
Hello there.
And we are satisfied tonight. I don't think there's any debate about that one. We won that.
There's no debating, though. We definitely won that game.
We won that one. There's no, like, are we happy with this 0-0 draw? We've gone back top of the league with a win that was hard fought, to be fair, towards the end and for periods in the first half. But we got the job done and, yeah, top of the league. Go on, Matt.
Yeah, you are 100% correct. We are top of the league with 2 points.
Thank you.
Above Leicester and City. Are they both in 38?
I think so.
Yeah.
So we got our 40 points. So we are now safe from relegation.
No relegation for us.
Woo!
Oh, red. It's a nice feeling to go top again. It was obviously a bit of a shitter to drop down to second. Was it? Yes, last year.
Third.
After the kickoff. So that was a bit of a. But we knew that was going to happen anyway, but it just takes a bit of the shine off a bit, doesn't it? Because we've been like, would have been nice to just stay top throughout this whole time, but we knew it was going to come.
But what it does is, it means there was a little bit of pressure on us going into the game to get our spot back, which is the sort of scenario that we've often struggled with. Just any sort of pressure scenario in the last few years has been one that we struggled with, but like they did with the... getting the Champions League place against Leicester at the end of last season. They came through that. So they have done these moments where, you know, a win is needed to achieve a goal, and it's not like they crumble every point. It's just seemingly the cup competitions where that happens.
Mm.
But, yeah, we did the job and got our place at the top of the league back, James.
I'm very happy with that, as we all are. Speaking for all United fans now.
We are,
you know,
the voice, yeah?
Yeah, we are, well, of course. But, no,
try and understand it.
Try and understand it, yeah. Hey now, we're the Devils. We are top of the league. It feels great, and it was a small reminder this week that, of course, it's fleeting, especially with the kind of the way this season's gone and the games in hand, however they fall. And I guess we've answered that by just, once again, winning.
Yeah.
When it comes to can Man United win a game? And it, as you mentioned, you know, before that, we seem to have, yeah, just sort of come up short in these kind of situations. But this team keeps finding it. They keep finding the answers. Whether that's down to having players like Cavani in there, seasoned winners.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not sure. It's a maturity in this team.
I think that's part of it, yeah.
Yeah, but it's fantastic to be there, to be top of the league. And at least, kind of, because, yeah, as we've said, like, so many times, we've had, like, the gauntlet laid out to us, and we'd come up short. But tonight, it was a bit of a battle at times. We're top of the league, guys, still.
Yeah. Still. I felt there was always, like, a little risk that we hit the top at one point and then, you know, slackened off, got a bit complacent, because if there's one thing that this team has done when they've been going well, they've often slipped into a little bit of complacency, like in Project Restart when, you know, we were winning back-to-back games and stuff. And then towards the end of it, we came unstuck, like we were thinking with a finished deal, and you had them home games against West Ham and Southampton, and we turned up and looked like we expected to win and didn't. Whereas now, I think they realise they need to put the graft in, and they are doing, especially Cavani tonight as well. I think he was well worth his man of the match call from BT Sport. I think, is that the official man of the match? Is that, I think the broadcast?
I think that's how it works. If it's a broadcast game, it's normally the broadcaster who kind of has the overall say. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I felt he would come in tonight. I put him in the predicted 11. I wasn't too far off, actually, with that, with the... call that Greenwood and Cavani play. I just felt they would play because we would have a lot of the ball, which we did for like the vast majority of this game. And it's, I felt it was just best to have our most clinical strikers, the most portery of our strikers, namely Cavani for that one. But it felt like you needed creative players behind some players that were definitely going to put the ball in the net rather than maybe counter-attacking forwards like Rashford and Martial. Obviously, Martial played, but yeah, it seemed like the right way to go. I thought Donny van de Beek might get a go, but he didn't even get off the bench again. But maybe he gets some minutes on Sunday. Who knows? But yeah, we needed that win tonight because, like we said, Leicester beat Chelsea last night and looked pretty decent. I think there's going to be no let up from them. And obviously City just toil away and get the win tonight against Villa in a game that it looked like they might get a draw. They might have to settle for a draw, but that is what City do. They have been champions a number of times over the last few years and they get them results. But we're showing the same sort of metal at the moment.
Yeah, I believe so. It's strange to think that we can actually start playing like this and start being consistent without having to really worry about if we're going to show up or not. Like, even though early points during the game, like, we were getting frustrated and obviously it wasn't really going our way, but there was always a part of me that believed that we were going to get something from the game at least, and we were going to go on to do something and ease into the game, even if we weren't going to have the best game of our lives. And I always felt we were going to get something and walk away with a win. Yeah. Because, again, it's the mentality of a title-winning team to still get the win even though you're playing badly or you're not having the best of games or nothing seems to be going your way. And I felt like our time was coming.
Yeah, I think I uttered that to myself literally around about 5 minutes before we scored. And it felt, because we were just dominant for most of the early part of the second half, weren't we? And I just thought, it's going to come. It will come if they're just patient. And it wasn't too long after it that it did come, thankfully. But we started poorly tonight, I think. We didn't really get out of the traps in the first 15, 20 minutes, did we?
We didn't. Start the game as well as I'd have hoped we would. And, yeah, it was a bit sort of, I don't know, back and forth at times. As Ollie said in his post-match, we didn't wake up. It's a bit of a shame, really, because there's so many of these games where we haven't woken up and we've been punished for it. And on this occasion, it was no different. I had a conversation with Simon before kickoff, off broadcast, of course, off air. And I said it might be a struggle this game. I don't know. Just had a feeling. I don't know why. Might be one of those kind of games that we struggle to get a result. And it panned out that way, unfortunately. But of course, came out with a result. But, yeah, at the start, Yeah, slow out the traps again. I don't think we played abysmal or anything like that.
No, we just didn't have...
Yeah, just wasn't...
To us, did we?
No, it just wasn't coming off. And then the goal, I think, is what you're alluding to, is, Ademola Lookman, he gets played through. And on first viewing, I think we're all sort of looking at it and thinking, well, it's one of those late offsides.
Yeah.
Like, the flag's coming.
The flag's going to come.
Waiting, yeah, and then you see... Yeah,
going
you see...
through the rigmarole, yeah.
Of course, you see him celebrating, and you see the Man United players remonstrating, and you see the rest of it, and you're thinking, hang on a minute, this is going to stand. And of course it did. Just one of those things, and again, it's something that Ollie alluded to in his interview afterwards. He said something quite telling. He said, we don't play for offsides here. You know, you follow your runner. And I thought, oh, interesting. I mean, because how many times?
It was interesting that he actually openly said that as well.
Yeah, he did. It was quite good insight. But nevertheless, we've ended up with this situation where I think, so when you look at it, like Wan-Bissaka's playing Lookman onside, but I think also Bailly's playing him onside as well. I mean, it doesn't matter now. I mean, but it's not as it, yeah, it was onside. And he scored, and it's like, okay then. But I've got to admit, although I did say this was going to be a struggle, I sort of thought we might not get the points easily.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the best way to put it.
Whether we made hard work of it or they made it hard.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's going to be something.
Of course, because no disrespect to Fulham. They're doing all right at the minute, of course, you know, so better than they were doing. So, yeah, us going a goal behind, it's a mark of this team now where, again, I just sat there and I thought, well, okay, hang on a minute. No, this is far from over. This is far from over because the team we've put out there is more than capable of doing the job and it's just a matter of time. I don't get that feeling anymore going into games. I don't know whether it's a managerial thing because sometimes, like with Van Gaal, you'd go into a game thinking, I'm not sure we're going to score here. So God forbid we go we're never down.
We're going to score under Van Gaal at some point.
And even under Mourinho, sometimes you were like, oh, guys, I hope we score. And I know that sounds really silly because obviously nil-nil draws are part of the game and it happens. And you, sometimes you draw nil-nil, sometimes you lose and stuff like that. And not to get all high and mighty because we're where we are in the table, but you go into a game now and you genuinely feel like we're going to score, especially in the league.
And especially when we concede that early as well.
Exactly. But I'll throw it back to you guys. But yeah, I just thought that, okay, it's annoying to a goal down and to not have that clean sheet because, of course, you know what that does for the confidence of the team and all the rest of it, especially when your captain is a centre-half and that's going to feed into the rest of the team. But I don't know about you guys, but I just genuinely thought, well, it's there for us. We can take this. You've got to put the work in.
Yeah, I do think you're just generally more confident with this team. And even when he makes changes, especially the changes that he made tonight, like there's now a set of probably, I don't know, 16, 17 players that you could genuinely trust, whereas last year he had, by the end of it, he had like 11,
yeah,
maybe 12, 13. But now you can swap Cavani in and Greenwood in for the players that play regularly, and you can swap the midfield round, and you can swap Bailly for Lindelof, and there's not a huge drop-off anymore. And yeah, this game where we've made a few changes, it wasn't too many, three in the end, was it, I think, that sort of thing doesn't necessarily affect them anymore. And you can go into most games now confident that they're going to get something. And yeah, even going 1-0 down early on, it didn't seem like too big a deal. It wasn't the end of the world, whereas previously it might have been.
Yeah. Yeah, well, like you were saying, it's strange to think of like the comparison. We keep doing this now, but we comparison where we were this time last season with the players we had and the squad we had, and it's insane to think how well we've come on in the last 12 months. So
it's a year unbeaten away from home as well now.
Yeah. That's
worth noting. Worth noting, isn't it?
Incredible that. I mean, that's when you start racking up them kind of records. You started seeing shadows of what Liverpool were doing, and if we're building towards that title, they're the kind of records that we want to be doing, and that they're the kind of like examples we should be setting.
Yeah,
and it's great, it's fantastic.
Yeah, whether it's this year or next year or the year after, that's the sort of thing,
a building block, and it's still the things that we need to be looking to doing. So yeah, it's just good to see. And tonight the changes that were made again. Anyone probably would have told you that there was going to be changes to the team that played against Liverpool, which is fine. We knew that were going to happen. We said about in the last podcast that we knew it was going to happen. We thought there were going to be more in the FA Cup game, though, didn't we? I'm pretty sure we said there were going to be more.
Yeah, I think...
I don't know. That was Sunday and I was very drunk.
My personal opinion was that I think he'll make a similar amount in each game rather than keep the same team one game and then wholesale the next one. I think it'll be... It might be different changes against Liverpool, but I don't think it'll be loads more. But we'll get to that. Yeah, but yeah, we were expecting changes, and they paid off. Especially paid off after the first 20 minutes of not much happening. I mean, there was a Paul Pogba yellow card after Fred had a bit of a penalty shout, but I think it went to VAR, but it was. Never really going to get given. But we soon came back into it. Bruno started popping some shots off, hit the post. And then Cavani, one of the changes in a Portuguese position, makes all the difference and gets the first goal, gets us back into it, settles the nerves again.
He certainly did. And they said it in the studio, BT Sport. I don't know why other broadcasters are available.
We are not affiliated with BT Sport.
It just so happened that they were commenting on the game tonight. But yeah, they mentioned that no other striker... Well, to be fair, I'm treading old ground here because it's one of those goals that no one else that is in the Man United sort of striking roster would get. And sometimes you hear that and you think, well, yeah, they're just saying that. But with this Cavani one, and it's easy to say after the fact, but I genuinely think that's true.
He genuinely is the only sort that will pick up that position consistently.
Yeah.
Rashford, Martial, Greenwood might get the odd one like that, but that's the goal that Cavani scores again and again, isn't it?
It is, and it's not to talk sort of in a negative term about sort of Rashford, Martial or Greenwood. They're fantastic at what they do, but Cavani finds himself... So first of all, his anticipation is on point, because he's sort of just sniffing out the fact that maybe the goalkeeper might not catch this, and they'd been alive to sort of... Again, I'm not saying Rashford wouldn't, but even when the ball falls to Cavani there, he's ruthless.
Yeah,
he's an absolute, and my parents listen to this, but he's a bastard. When it comes to, do you know what I mean? He sweeps that away. Man, I know I'm getting told on. You know what I mean? But he sweeps that home. He's absolutely ruthless. And then even his celebration, when he, I know you can't really, you know, from the sub, but that pure sort of, he just goes, like it's an audio podcast, isn't it? I did the face there, but
James is doing like a big, strong man.
It was an exquisite Cavani face impression, but there you go. But the sheer adrenaline, you know, he was pumped, you know, he was pumped for it. But no, yeah.
Her grew about.
It did. Yeah, well, yeah. But no, he found himself in the right position, and part of me thinks that one of our other strikers, maybe all three of them, you know, had they been in that position when the ball fell to them, perhaps they want to take a touch, perhaps they want to hook and
set
and
themselves.
That's, yeah, and you've seen how Rashford at the minute has been when he's been dribbling and stuff like that. Okay, we've been criticising him for taking maybe one too many touches, but his evasive sort of play, he's like sitting defenders down and stuff, like he's taking an extra touch and they're diving in. And maybe I'm thinking if that falls to him, and this is, again, I'm not taking anything away from Rashford because we love this about his play, and who knows, maybe Rashford sidesteps the goalkeeper and sort of just dinks it in.
I can imagine try and pull it back and then slot it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's all hypothetical, right? But I can totally get the point. I think Ferdinand made that point, you know, so respect, of course. But yeah, I totally get that point. Cavani just absolutely was going to score. Like, nothing was going to stop him. It went through the keeper as well. So there was the anticipation to get the ball, but then also the sort of, yeah, the ruthless way just smashed it right through the goalkeeper. It was never going to be stopped. And next thing you know, we're at 1-1. And
we started playing then as well, didn't we?
Yeah, the momentum came, didn't it?
Yeah. Like we've said numerous times, goals just calm this side down, don't they? And the confidence just kicks in. I mean, I don't think the heads dropped on this occasion because they've done it so many times of coming back from goals down away from home. I mean, like we said, it's been a year since they last lost away from home. So, you know, they've obviously got something about them, this team now. And they started playing. Wan-Bissaka putting a few crosses in. Shaw putting a few crosses in. I mean, not too many massive chances. But Harry Maguire had a decent one from a corner that really should have been put away, shouldn't he?
Yeah, I'm not sure. This is the thing that we've discussed. I'm not sure if we discussed it really too much on the actual podcast, but we've done on the chat and stuff where it's a bit strange with Maguire because he gets a lot of opportunities to put headers away and just doesn't really seem to follow through with it, and it's frustrating because a lot of the times, a lot of defenders are like giving him the space to make that run, and like they say in commentary, when you're allowing Maguire to run and get at a ball, then he's not going to stop, and you're not going to be able to get away without like causing a foul. So it's weird that he keeps getting to these heads, but he just can't seem to get it in. It's like he wants to. He wants. I think he's too thinking too much about it. He wants to put too much on it. He wants to either like make a flick on it. Like tonight, where he seemed to head it like off to the other direction when he could have easily just put his head through it and just absolutely headed it through the net.
Yeah, you felt like he there maybe wasn't enough pace on the ball for him for that chance. I mean, I've only really seen it back a couple of times and it was slowed down, but it looked like he was trying to put too much onto it. Also, he's done the hard work of... He's always doing the hard work of beating the men that he's trying to beat and getting above them. And then you just expect him to do better with his headers because we've seen him score them.
Yeah. It's just
like you say, maybe he's overthinking it. And because there is a bit of pressure on this team at the moment in the sense that, you know, we're doing well in the league and stuff. And is he overthinking the chances that he gets because everything feels massive at the moment in the sense of in-game scenarios and goals and like we saw from how they celebrated the eventual second goal that, you know, it means a lot at the moment. It's not just they're not just, you know, floating by and not thinking much about it. I mean, Solskjaer will tell you that they're not thinking too much about the league position, but you can fucking bet they are.
I smell bullshit on that one. Yeah. Sorry, Ollie. We see through you.
Yeah, maybe Maguire is just overthinking it and just...
But just think about this. Imagine if, like, all the opportunities that we get with Maguire to put these headers away, how many more goals we'd be getting per game.
Yeah. Well, that's part of what you thought you were getting when you signed him as well. And I don't think there's... For me, there's not too much argument that he's not been a success. I think he has been a success. I think he's, when you look at what our defence was like a few years ago, I think he has improved it.
Mm.
Even just through the stats of clean sheets and all that sort of stuff, I don't think you can really argue that he hasn't improved us. But yeah, the goal side of things, he could be on just so much more.
And it'd be great as well. Imagine just like finding them goals from your defenders as well.
Yeah.
Absolute callback to yesteryear.
Yeah, not too many of the other defenders actually chip in too much. Lindelof gets the odd one. Baye's got, what, two, maybe?
I think that.
So, yeah, Maguire could get a few more goals. Gets himself in good positions, but wasn't to be. But we still got there in the end. Other than that, in the first half, Bruno had a decent chance with a free kick, but absolutely skied it and then seemed to look at the turf as if it was the... Turf's fault, but it's not quite at it at the moment. I mean, he contributed again tonight with a bit of a sceptical assist. If you're a fantasy football player, he got an assist for something tonight, and I don't believe he passed to Pogba for his, so I think he got the one for Cavani's. Don't really know.
Yeah, I'm not sure why. Although, no, because if it's...
He crossed it.
If it's parried away by the keeper, then yeah, technically, yeah, I can imagine that it would be his assist.
Nerdy FPL chat there for you.
Yeah, sorry.
But
yeah. Oh, you're welcome.
He looked like he was getting frustrated at times tonight, but we'll come to that later. But we went in 1-1, and you could just argue that the first half was a half of two halves, really. The first 20 where we just didn't settle down, and from that point on, from the point on that we scored, from that point on in the game, really, we were dominant. But we'll get to the second half after the break, and yeah, and then we'll look forward to the Liverpool game as well. Hello, it's Simon again. I'm just here to quickly tell you listeners where to find us on social media. We're The Devil's Trident on Instagram and Facebook. You can also find us on Twitter at Devil's Trident. You can also keep up to date with us at thedevilstrident.com. Okay, on with the show. All right, welcome back. And let's get to the second half, and I'm going to give you a little disclaimer here. I missed the first 5 minutes of that first half because I was away from the TV. So, Matt, James, what happened in that first 5 minutes? I think when I came back to the chat, you told me that Luke Shaw got nutmegged a few times, and that was about it.
Yeah.
Was that the start of the first half?
It was. I think so, yeah. He got nutmegged twice in the same minute.
Yes.
Which I'm not having a go. I'm just, you know, but it was
100%. He was 100% having a go, by the way, when we were watching it. He was showing his frustration, James, when that went in.
Listen,
when that happened, just, I mean.
Yeah, if I was the manager, yeah, not make twice in the same game, same minute, it's a yard away. No, I'm joking. Roy Keane wasn't. No, it was just funny to see the same player get nutmegged by a similar move twice in the same minute of a game. It was unbelievable because they played it down the wing and then it sort of got a little flick and then Shaw's legs were wide open like a you-know-what and it goes straight through and it's like, oh, darn it. He switched and tries to get back and then the same sort of thing happened again and it's less a criticism, more kind of, did you just see that?
Was it Loftus-Cheek as well?
Unbelievable.
Both
times? I might be wrong. Loftus-Cheek was definitely, it was very clever on his part though. He just sort of went, oh, yeah. But Luke Shaw just stood there being, nutmeg me. Just let's, come on now, guys.
It's open for business, that's what it was.
Pretty much. Other than that, they flashed one right across our box.
Was that Loftus-Cheek as well? I think I returned to the box at that point. Yeah.
But you also missed some delightful action on the other end with our guys, with a lovely bit down left flank with Pogs, Martial, and...
Fred, I think.
It was Fred, yeah, doing a bit of 1-2 in and then putting the ball in, and then we got a corner from it, and then Harry Maguire missed.
That was lovely, though. The interplay.
The build-up play was lovely. Note, yeah. Was lovely up to the header, and then again
up
it was
Maguire.
Just Maguire just charging through and just absolutely heading it over.
So you're all caught up?
I am all caught up, so there you go. We've got to be honest round here, aren't we? You know what I mean?
I missed the first 5 minutes of the first half.
I think you missed the first 10 minutes of the Leeds game as well.
Yeah, I'm not very. If it's a midweek game, I've got a lot of stuff doing. I've got a lot of stuff to do. You say I'm a busy man.
Well, Leeds was the weekend, so you got no excuse.
That's a probably hungover.
Yeah, that's
a good excuse, isn't it?
That's a reasonable excuse.
Yeah.
when I did return, Luke Shaw had a decent effort on the volley-ish. There was a bit of a spell of pressure from outside the box. It wasn't a massive chance or anything, but we had a good 5 or 10 minute spell where we were just building chances around the box. Not really anything was quite coming off. Like, there was crosses going in and players were offside from crosses, and Fulham were doing the job and catching us offside, to be fair. And as I mentioned before, Bruno looked like he was getting frustrated. Like, he was, I mean, not to the levels of the Liverpool game, where I can't remember which of the United podcasts, well, fellow United podcasts, was talking about it, but his passing stats were awful, like awful against Liverpool. Like, I think it was 44% accuracy in the first half, which is truly awful, and kind of makes sense with the game that he had against Liverpool on Sunday. But
yeah, but do you feel like he was doing that because he wanted to create more chances for us to score, because we wanted to get a goal to settle the nerves, maybe?
Yeah, well, that's part of the thing with Bruno, isn't it? You accept that he's going to give the ball away a lot because he tries things that a lot of other players don't try. I mean, you could say that sort of thing about someone like Pereira, for example, that he gives the ball away a lot because he's trying something that's just never going to come off, but it never comes off for Pereira because he's not as good.
He's more inept, isn't he? So, yeah,
he's not as good as Bruno Fernandes, whereas Bruno Fernandes can do it more frequently and will do something in a game that will make an impact. But that is the sort of stat that you have to accept every now and again from him. But he was giving the ball away a few times at the start of that second half and just looked to be visibly annoyed with himself. And he's got high standards for himself, obviously. So he is going to get frustrated when things aren't coming off, especially when we're not winning. But it eventually came, and boy, did it come.
Holy guacamole.
Paul Pogba.
Side of jalapenos.
Woo!
That was spicy meatballs. I'm just throwing out loads of food-related things here.
You're doing your vague foreign accent again.
Yeah, he's doing his cultural appropriation voice again, so.
We're gonna get cancelled here.
Why? I'm just doing Italian people.
Okay.
Is it spicy meatball, eh?
I think, actually, are we part Italian? We are
part Italian, yeah. Part Italian, Greek, and
Scandinavian. Yeah, so we are Solskjaer through and through.
Yes, lad.
But yeah.
Okay, treat me like the audience.
We could be related.
What's going on here?
We had a, Lewis did, our brother, had a ancestor-like check thing to see, because our dad thinks we are from France. I think he thinks our name originates from France, but actually we are, like, was it 40% Scandinavian?
Yeah, it was something very, very high, and then the rest of it was English, Scottish, Irish, and then I think like 5% Greek, 5% Italian.
And that's where Matt's accent comes from.
Exactly. Plus, I look quite Greek as well, so there we go. I've ticked all the boxes. I definitely don't look Scandinavian.
No.
All right, well, you're not cancelled then, so carry on.
Thank you. So I'm allowed to.
I checked that and it's fine. It's been verified. We've been to CAR, cancelled assistant review, whatever they call it.
Yeah, the touch from Pogba was already a gasp moment, weren't it, in that it was a great touchdown, and then he sealed it by putting it in with his left foot. Kind of Mason Greenwood, weak foot-esque, just absolutely curled it in, lovely finish, and again, in the midweek games, he pops up with a goal that puts us back top of the league. He's delivering.
Paul Pogba likes Wednesdays.
Yes.
It seems. It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. Yeah, he brought the ball down and it was unbelievable. And then he sort of turned and just you're thinking for a second, what's going to happen here? You know, in that split second, okay. And then you're thinking, I think he's going to shoot. And then next thing you know, we're 2-1 up and we're back to top of the league. It's one of those things, it's really, really weird with Paul Pogba because seconds before that, I was kind of, well, I say seconds, minutes before, I was a little bit annoyed because he did that thing and I'm going to be the only guy that's going to really pick holes in his performance tonight. There weren't many holes, obviously he played quite well, you know. What he likes to do is obviously he likes to linger on the ball sometimes and just sort of show off how strong he can be and how he can sort of muscle players at will just away from the ball and just be like, yeah, look at me, I'm Paul Pogba. Which is great when, like, we're winning, we're top of the league and we're 4-0 up or whatever. I mean, I'm not saying like it's showboating.
There's a right area of the pitch to do it as well.
Yeah, yeah. He's got this kind of...
He played very deep today, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, but there was a point... And he sort of gave the ball away and it's that thing. I think Matt said it earlier on. It's some of the players tonight, sort of too many touches and you're sort of thinking, come on, we're on the cusp of something here. And it's just an extra touch. And then, but Pogba sometimes, yeah, he likes to put his foot on the ball and sort of do a bit of, a bit of dragging and rolling of the ball and stuff like that, which is all good. But on one particular occasion, he got it nicked off him and he fell on his backside. And then they were away then, you see, Fulham were away and they were attacking us. And it's like, oh, Paul, come on. And then, yeah, a few minutes later, ball comes out of the sky and but that's Paul Pogba all over. That's Paul Pogba all over, and we know this. Like, he's frustrating at times.
We have to expect it every now and again.
Yeah, which, okay. And it's one of those things you allow it when you're top of the league, and I keep hammering that home, but it's one of the not because the perspective changes now, because this, going forward, these players, you know, putting in the top performances and finding sort of goals out of nowhere, which seemingly, this Pogba one was kind of a goal out of nowhere.
Mm.
Ball came down, and he's on his weak foot. And he unleashed hell, and there you go.
Of all the scenarios around that spell of play, that one looked like one of the least likely. As soon as he took it onto his left foot, you thought, well...
Yeah, because...
No, this is not guaranteed to go in, is it?
No, it's not. You know, and Areola played okay, and he had some good saves, and later on he had a really good save, I'm sure we'll talk about. But, so yeah, there's no guarantees that was going to go in. We know Pogba is good at his long-range shots. Fernandez, likewise, and I think... And he had a couple in the first half, as we've mentioned, Fernandez. And I was thinking maybe, yeah, especially after the keeper had flapped that first sort of cross and it ended up with a goal for us, then maybe he's there to be tested, confidence-wise, you know. And so, yeah, Pogba just had a ping and it went in. But Pogba's, you know, his overall performance was good. It's another one of those ones where you look and you go, right, Paul's really, he's on board with this. And not to get into a big tangent about this, but just Paul in his... post-match comments, he said, yeah, he's happy when he wins. Now, you can read into that what you want.
Mm.
And I hate to be controversial, but, you know, Paul Pogba seems to be happy when the team's doing well. And it's like, he's telling you with his words there, he's like, he's giving you the, you know, if you want to read deeply into, you know, any kind of psychological things in there, but he's telling you, when I'm happy when we win. It's like, well, so are the fans, but
yeah, there was more to that as well from an interview he did before the Liverpool game where he was pretty honest with the Sky interview. I think it was Patrick Davison that interviewed him, and he was pretty much asked, "Do you like what were you feeling when you were on the bench?" And he was saying, "I hate being on the bench. I can't stand it," which is what you want to hear.
It is,
and it's obviously driven him a little bit, whether the agent stuff and all the hoo-ha around that has also added into his drive to shut people up. But he also said that people's words against him fire him up even more. And maybe that whole thing has, in a weird way, helped, which is odd to think. But as long as he's scoring goals for us and helping us win games, and these goals that he scored in the last couple of weeks aren't just goals that cap off a performance and, you know, don't mean too much. These are match-winning goals, important goals that are doing good things for us in the table. You know, it's...
Would you say that he's being a big-time player, scoring big-time goals?
I'm not saying it.
Coming in with his big-dick energy.
You're just desperate to say big-dick energy, weren't you?
Yes.
We're not titling the podcast Big Dick Energy. Oh, I can confirm that. It's not happening.
If anything, it's the Paul Podcast.
Oh.
Oh,
but we're not calling it that either.
Well, I don't think we have a choice in it, unfortunately.
No, me and Areola decides. We just have to.
You were correct anyway with the Areola save. He did make a good save from Cavani straight after, which would have quelled some nerves towards the end. I mean, Cavani did what he does best. And I'll be going over old Granny. He's a poacher. He's where he needs to be between the goals and just consents a chance. Great header, great save. And not too many other chances for us around that time. Fulham had the one breakaway where De Gea had to save it from Loftus-Cheek, and De Gea was awake. I think that we can say that about him, because other than that, he had not much to do from the point that Fulham scored, really.
Mm.
So fair play to him. I think that's one of the criticisms that we've had of him, really, in the last few seasons, that he's gone to sleep a little bit every now and his concentration hasn't been quite where it should be. And when we're dominating games now, his concentration does need to be right up there, because he could get caught cold, couldn't he, with we've not been involved as much. But he did his job. But we made it hard in the last 10 minutes. We looked a bit nervy, like we weren't sure we were going to get over the line. Although before we come to that, we should mention Fred's madness moment of
parkour. You mean
parkour moment? Fred, shall I read you the note? Because I do these shorthand. I do these shorthand whilst I'm watching the game, because obviously I don't want to deviate too much away from the action. Fred Parkour Duracell Bunny Battle was the note.
Yeah, I think I can get that. Yeah.
Now you need to call the podcast that. That's what you need to call it.
Fred Parkour Duracell Bunny Battle.
Yeah,
it sounds like You see that, quite topical actually, because of what's happened today in America. The Donald Trump
thing. Oh, TV cameraman thing, yeah, yeah.
Sounds
yeah,
like that. Fred, Parkour, Duracell, Bunny, Battle. See, I can remember everything.
Oh, God. I hope they songify that.
Yeah, that'd be...
If anyone doesn't know what songify is, they take random conversations and random like interviews and make them into songs, which is brilliant, by the way, because the Donald Trump ramp... The Ramp by the Gregory Brothers. Check that out, because it's one of the funniest things to come out of this year, hands down.
And there's not been many of those. But yeah, now we've got past the Fred Donald Trump thing. Yeah, we made the last 10 minutes hard, and God, it was nervy. Loftus-Cheek does us a favour by smacking one over the bar. Lamina had a chance that also went over, and there was a bit of panic in the box. And then Eric Bailly almost put one in his own net off Mitrovic, who James tonight has told me is 26 years old, and that has absolutely baffled my mind. I can't believe it.
Well,
it's true. I thought I had genuinely had him down for being like 32 at this point. Yeah, because I just thought he was... I thought he was this age when he was at Newcastle. Well, he's just an angry headbutty man at 21 at Newcastle, weren't he? So yeah.
Maybe he's got that Benjamin Button thing. Maybe he's going back.
Possibly. That'd make more sense.
Maybe he's de-aging. So, like, next season he'll come back as a babby.
It was a bit nervy, weren't it?
It was. And speaking of building a wall, Eric Bailly at the end there with that block, which might have turned out not to have been a block.
It could have been anything.
What was Bailly doing? That is what you get with Eric Bailly. You don't quite know what you're going to get.
What you get is your heart in your mouth with Eric Bailly. And sometimes, most of the time it comes off, but sometimes it doesn't. And thankfully this was one that just about did.
It was so close to hitting his hand, which is what was most terrifying for me. Because at first I thought he did hit it with his hand, but he kind of hipped it.
Mm.
It's all in the hips.
Hips don't lie.
Hips do not lie. And
hips go wide.
Thankfully, yeah.
It went well. Those last few minutes were very, very I wouldn't say unnecessarily, but again, like we keep saying, like, these games are so big now, and we've had these kind of performances where, yeah, you sort of middling in the table at this time of the year, and we've had the Van Gaal era and all this kind of stuff, and you're thinking, every step is a move back to get United where they used to be and stuff, and that's kind of, this is the importance of sort of enjoying, whether it's for a week or not or whatever, like, top of the league. I mean, you don't get a bus parade for that. Of course you don't. But at least have that feeling of this is what it feels like when your manager is kind of at least doing or perceived to be doing his job right. Listen, at the moment, Man United are doing all the right things. And we sit top of the table, but obviously it's a precarious position and you've got to go into the next game with the same kind of mentality. But yeah,
the plan's working a little
bit. Oh yeah, of course. And it feels like all the players are on message and no one's realistically thinking we're just going to like storm to the title or anything like that. The belief that we are improving on, I mean, clearly we're improving on last season and that's what you would want. As we've said before, we finished third, so maybe second, first is the promised land, but you know, finish second and you can sort of walk away and be like, yeah, we improved. But those last few minutes, it just, because getting into the top four is one thing and you go, we didn't quite get there, but maintaining top, it's like...
Yeah, and it feels like it means something as well, doesn't it?
Of course. And just to go back to an analogy,
Hang on, what's going to come out with?
Well, it could be anything. My sister sort of was really, she was watching me watch the Liverpool game. It's a whole thing. But when Liverpool played against Southampton and Liverpool were losing and I was getting really animated, she was like, what's going on? This isn't a United game. I don't understand what's happening here. And I said, no, you don't understand. Let me tell you in words you can understand. I said, it's like, have you ever seen Shrek? And she was like, of course I've seen Shrek. Okay.
Shrek wouldn't come out of your mouth.
Yeah, well, there you go. I said, well, you see, for Man United, this means, okay, this is the bit where he rescues Princess Fiona. There's lots of the movie left to go, but he's rescued Princess Fiona, right? They can go and kill Lord Farquaad later on and do the meet Eddie Murphy as a donkey. That doesn't... The point is, this is the start of that journey. She'd lost interest by then, but she did go on Facebook and put a post
about it. Very early into the film.
That very early into the film.
Yeah, but we're almost halfway through the season, though.
Yeah, but that was weeks ago.
Oh.
See, the thing is, we've progressed since then. So
I'm going to say,
we've met Eddie Murphy now. We're hanging around with Eddie Murphy. Yeah, it's all fine. It's all good.
We're already making waffles by this point, surely.
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah. Parfait. I love parfait. We're doing all that kind of stuff.
Oh, we talked about onions as well.
Yeah, the gingerbread man. We're already talking about a sequel, but the point is... No, and so she was confused, and she went on Facebook, and because she's witty like me, she was like, oh, my brother says that this game's about Shrek. And one of her friends commented saying, I'm holding on for a hero. And she put, at this point, it's I'm holding on for a goal by Jurgen Klopp.
And which, it's also the wrong film. That's a sequel.
I like how relaxed we are now about United's form, that we talk about Shrek instead of United on the podcast.
Why would you not? Like... No. Maybe we should just move on to this at the end of every episode.
Oh, our favourite
We'll have the movie hour at the end of it.
But we held on for a hero, and Eric Bailly was that hero, and he was able to hip it wide. Hips don't lie.
Anyway, we got away with it. Once Matt's recovered, we got away with it. Fred cleared the ball to Rashford, and everybody was breathing huge sighs of relief.
Don't forget to mention that Matic came on.
That
very important substitution.
He had a wild run.
He did have... He ended up on the counter-attack with Rashford, of all people.
God, imagine if he just spaffed that. Just poof, right in top corner.
Took it. It would have been an iconic moment.
That would have been lovely.
Look back on while we enjoy the trophy parade. Anyway, yeah, 3 points in the bag. Obviously, top of the league with an asterisk because City have still got that game in hand and won tonight. We'll see what happens in the next few weeks, but all we can do is keep winning and... see where we end up.
Mm.
In the meantime, we have got Liverpool again at the weekend, FA Cup. I mean, we talked about it a little bit in the last podcast, so we don't need to go too far into this one. Obviously, a massive game. The Cup could be big for Solskjaer, as we've said on numerous occasions in numerous Cups. Having seen tonight's side... what are you thinking happens with the team selection on Sunday now? Do we give Bruno a rest? Does Pogba sit this one out? I mean, Pogba's got to the stage where he's at pretty big importance levels again. What do you think happens with this one? I mean, I personally can't see that it's going to be like the Dan Jameses and Matters of this world. I don't think it's going to go that far, but...
Definitely not.
What's your thoughts?
I have a friend at work who's a Liverpool fan. Mm. And obviously, he's a nice lad, but he's also a Liverpool fan. So Fuck him. So it's a bit of a strange one. He genuinely believes that Klopp is not going to field a very strong team at all for this. And I can agree, really. I think if you look at where Liverpool are at the table, like, they've got a bigger thing to worry about.
Not too much.
No, but the thing is, like, all that needs to happen is they need to, like, get either, like, lose another game or draw another game, and they just drop further and further down, and they can't really afford that. If they want to be doing what they say they're good at, which is, like, pushing above where they're at and always looking up and trying to go higher, then they need to concentrate on the league instead of worrying about the FA Cup. So I feel that, like, they're not going to field a very strong team, or not the strongest team at all, really. Yeah. So I feel like there's going to be some changes from the team that we saw last week that we played in the league. So I have a feeling that we are going to not see the likes of... I don't think we're going to see Fernandes and Pogba.
Yeah, he's sat Rashford out, so maybe...
Rashford's going to start the next game. I think Van der Beek will start, actually. I do. I think he's going to... I think this is going to...
At some point, isn't
it? I think he's going to get his chance, and I think it's going to be him and Scott McTominay. Possibly Mata. If we can fit him in, but I think Martial might not play. We might start with Cavani.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I honestly, I'm going to struggle to make any sort of prediction for this one because it's a bit of a tough one. I don't think there'll be too many changes, but if you ask me what changes they are going to be, I'll struggle to guess. Really, I mean.
What if we just field the same team that we played last week against Liverpool? No. Do it all over again.
I think Tellez will get a run out, and I think Van der Beek will get a run out. Aside from that, I don't know where else.
What about Hendo? Because Hendo's been playing the FA Cup games, hasn't he?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, I think four or five changes max, though. I don't think he'll strip it completely and ruin the floor, because I think he will want to get through, and I think there is possibly an opportunity there, like you say, if Klopp doesn't go as strong as he could do. What are you thinking, James?
I'm thinking similar. I'm thinking that it'll be like a strong United side, but maybe less so, with some players rested. It's funny because when you look at Klopp in this kind of competition, I'm just trying to get in Klopp's head.
Good luck.
It's well, yeah, with all that fake hair on his head, it's hard to get through, isn't it?
Fake teeth.
Oh, either way, you're going to struggle. You might come unglued. No, I'm not trying to say his hair glued on. They use staples or something, lasers or something. But when it comes to the cup competitions, he does like to play the second string. And I think it's more... I don't think it's a kind of disrespect for the competition. I think it's kind of a...
They've got less of a less deep...
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, some of those kind of players are in the first team as it is. I mean, the Williams, they're not brothers, but there's two Williams guys, Reece Williams, Nico Williams, that have had quite a few, due to necessity, they've had quite a few Premier League games. But in your average cup game, they might get the nod. So it's kind of weird. It's kind of deceiving, really, when it comes to a Klopp lineup in the cup. So, all I can think of is, like, when they played a lineup against the likes of, because we've not seen a United Liverpool game in the FA Cup at this kind of stage with Klopp in charge, I don't think.
No.
Because if we did, we kind of have a perception of how we...
Was that Europa League one that we...
Yeah, a while ago, and it was a fairly... I remember Divock Origi was...
I think that must have been early Klopp, that must
Yeah.
Was even Klopp? If it might have been Rodgers.
I think it was Klopp, but it...
Good old Brendan.
But either way... Judging how he's done it against, like, the likes of Arsenal and maybe City, it's less, because people put a lot of stock in this kind of thing. It's like, it's disrespecting the competition when you play the young guys. I don't really think, when it comes to Klopp, and this is giving him some respect here, by the way, which I don't like doing, but I think he genuinely believes that his young guys can go out and do it, and if they can't go out and do it, then at least he's learnt what they can do, or he's given them at least experience. It's a bit of a shame to see the FA Cup reduced to that kind of thing, when you've just kind of got, you know, it's like, we've got a cup goalkeeper. So, for instance, Henderson plays instead of De Gea. But then again, what a good opportunity for Henderson to play. So it's not necessarily a disrespect.
And it's not a poor player, is it?
No,
still a quality player.
Definitely not. And you look at those Liverpool players, the likes of last season in the cup, you had the likes of Curtis Jones, playing these kind of games and stuff, and you thought, who's this guy? And then now he's not played great. Most of the Premier League games. So if you're asking me who we're going to pick, I'd go, yeah, I wouldn't stray too far from what you guys have said. I think a strong side, but I think maybe De Gea gets the night off, and maybe, who knows? Yeah, we'll see. But I hope for a good game, but it's going to be a weird one, considering we played him last week, and it was a very cagey sort of affair.
Yeah, we don't often play him in such a short span as well.
And we hate them.
Yeah, we do not like them. Quick prediction from you for the Liverpool game, Matt.
1-1, it's going to go to penalties.
Ooh.
And I think we're going to go through.
Okay.
That's me not very confident, but I'm just thinking, I'd like us to go through, but I think a draw is probably going to be on the cards again.
Yep.
I'm thinking we win 1-0, and I was going to go out on a limb there. Yeah, why not? Nemanja Matic scores. We win
1-0. Ooh. Oh, I didn't give
that happens,
mine.
I earn all the pounds.
I'm going Juan Mata.
No, you can't. You already said yours.
No, but I didn't say whose score was.
And that's the podcast. Good night.
I'm thought it's worth... I think we'll get a narrow victory because maybe Klopp doesn't feel the strongest side. Anyway, we'll see you after that game because we can't have a Liverpool game and not have a podcast after it, can we? So we'll see you on Sunday/Monday back in your feeds. We'll see you then. I've been Simon. He has been Matt.
I've been Matt. Bye.
I've been James.
I have.
And we have been the Devil's Trident podcast, and we'll see you next time.
Ciao.
See you later.
Bella.